was tense at times in that second half. You could say Liverpool made this more difficult than what it should have been. But a win is a win. We win again. We keep up that winning momentum as we march towards the top four. Wolves came here with a game plan to frustrate Liverpool, but Florian Wirtz played like a little magician at times for Liverpool. Jeremy Frimpong back in the team at right back, created the first, brilliant bit of play down the right, beat two men, pulled it back, wonderful finish by Ryan Gravenberch. Then 2 minutes later before half-time, a wonderful turn by Ekotike, a sublime through ball, Wirtz timing the run to perfection, lovely touch, great finish, what a moment, his first Liverpool goal. Liverpool started the second half sloppy, we conceded a goal from a corner, Bueno scored, we couldn't get another goal, but we see it out, Liverpool 2, Wolves 1.
Steve Hunter there, summing up Liverpool's final game of 2025. The Reds running out 2-1 winners over Wolves in the Premier League. This is The Reaction. I'm Mark Benstead, and coming up we'll hear from Reds boss Arne Slot, captain Virgil van Dijk and goalscorer Ryan Gravenberch. But we'll begin with the thoughts of former Reds Jason McAteer and Ray Houghton. We can dig into the weeds of the performance today a little bit later in the show, Ray, but first and foremost, the headline is Liverpool have won a game that they should have won today.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they'd done okay in the first half. You had to be patient. We said about the way that Wolves would line up, getting numbers behind the ball. There wasn't a lot of space to play the ball behind, so Liverpool were keeping the ball, retaining it. I call it lending it, getting it, giving it back, getting it, giving it back, but no one was really probing in behind until we had that opportunity when Frimpong, lovely run, what a pullback. And then Ryan, who I think can do this more often, getting in advanced positions, and he slotted it brilliantly. I mean, people might have a question mark about the goalkeeper because he got beaten at the near post, but he hit it with such pace. When you see it, he's absolutely rattled it into the bottom corner. Terrific finish. And then when they went 2-0, when Wirtz scored, listen, the players were more happy for him than he was himself. You know, he's actually his first goal, but the players were absolutely ecstatic for him, and it just shows you their feelings towards him and his contribution in the matches. But 2-0, we've got to learn against weaker opposition that then control the game completely and you're going to win it comfortably. We can't do what we did in the second half and allow teams back into it with another set play where ball comes in, not cleared properly, and we've got four players running out. Where are you running to? You've got to hold your ground until you clear the danger.
We'll come to that issue with the set piece problem a little bit later. In terms of that initial first half, you know, we knew what was going to happen. We knew they would come. I think Ray used the phrase pre-match, they've come not to lose. We saw that from their setup. You know, it's interesting listening to the crowd around. You hear people saying, shoot, shoot, shoot. But as a player, you can't just shoot willy-nilly when players are behind the ball. You have to take your time sometimes, don't you? And that's what patience. Liverpool did in that first half.
Yeah, it's about, Ray used the word patience, he's exactly right. It's very, very difficult. Listen, we played in so many games at Anfield where teams come not to get beat. They look for a point or they try and nick it. And what that means is they just sit deep and they all, a good honest display from the players, they all get back, they're all making it very difficult for you. There's no space in behind to exploit for the strikers. You can't go over the top and everything's played in front of them. You just got to keep moving from side to side. Now, it can become frustrating and the crowd can turn a little bit. And I just felt it was doing that. I just felt that they'd found a way of sort of nullifying Liverpool. Liverpool would take too many touches then. And then it was all becoming a little bit frustrating. The crowd were just on the edge. And I just felt the goals, the two goals, it was bang, bang, wasn't it? They come at the perfect time. I felt Liverpool were just running out of ideas. You know, they were taking shots when they should have been a little bit more patient. They were trying to force balls into players. Pass appreciation was going a little bit as well. And it was becoming frustrating. And then all of a sudden, Frimpong, bang, little injection of pace. Lovely little pull back into an area where you're waiting for someone to arrive. Gravenberch arrives on the scene and we go 1-0 up. Then Wirtz gets the second and then it looked comfortable. They go in half-time. And then the second half is a different story. You know, they let them back in it. And then we were holding on.
This is going to happen time and time again, and has happened this season already, where we play against teams who defend deep, and then we've got to probe and find a way to play around them and get in behind them. We've got to come up with a plan. There's got to be something when the coaching staff sit down look at the previous matches, look at today's match again and say, right, what can we do better to get in behind them? And that final ball, because we did play nice little 1-2s, but then the delivery or the pullback wasn't quite of the quality required, and not enough numbers of players getting into the box, particularly at home. I don't think we need to have Alexis, Curtis and Ryan outside the box when we're going down the flanks and we're crossing it. I think at least two of them have got to break into the box. We've got enough defenders back there. You've got your two centre-halves, you've got one of them, the full-backs, whatever side you're going down, the opposite full-back should come in,
that possibly symptomatic of the fact that this season we have been a bit more frail and we were caught on the counter a little bit, which we weren't last year, so maybe it's an extra security blanket there.
You can't do that every game. You can't think, oh, we gave a goal away last week doing this, we can't do it this week. You've got to be more positive and say, right, see you boys at the back, when we're going forward, you've got to concentrate. If that ball comes out, one of you has got to go and attack it. You can't have two of you sitting back here waiting. One go there, you slow the play up. So if you go and hold them up, if I go to Jason and slow him up, it gives everyone else time to get back into the positions. But if two of us just sit back here and he gets on the ball, they're now running at us. And that's where you expose yourself, and that's where you have problems. You have game management, knowing when to press, when to sit off.
We should probably sort of separate the game out into two halves, focus on the real positives of the forward play in the first half, and then deal with the issues in the second half that kind of came in. You know, Ray mentioned Florian Wirtz getting his first goal. Again, the more he plays, the brighter he looks, and that is a huge moment for him and possibly for the football club. You saw it in the celebration, meant so much to him and his teammates.
Yeah, I just felt he's starting to come up to speed, isn't he? He's showing us, you know, what the price tag was warranting, you know, his touches, his movement, his balance, the way he goes around players as if they're not there sometimes. I mean, Matt Doherty had to pay to get back in at one point. I mean, a beautiful quick feet, his little drop at the shoulder and he's gone, the little coming inside, two touches, his touch, his vision, you know, and it was kind of like, when it was getting a little bit frustrating, I was kind of like, get him on the ball, he's going to make something happen. And to be fair, he was instrumental, his passing, his speed of pass, his awareness, he was opening them up and he was creating things, and then all of a sudden he gets his goal as well and his celebration. You just felt it was that relief, wasn't it? And you're right, all the players were made up. I think the whole place was made up for him.
I still maintain though, Jason, there are times when things don't come off for him, it's not on him, it's because he's seeing things that other players aren't up to speed with. A couple of times today where there was one at least where he was waiting for someone to give him a run to play a ball through, and I think it was Kirkus, doesn't go, and he has to try and do something else. He needs people to realise he'll find me because he's a good player.
Listen, I played with some of them players myself when they're always one step ahead. I mean, I always wax lyrical about Robbie Fowler. Robbie was the same. He'd see things before you've seen them. He did things that you didn't see, and sometimes that can be frustrating. But there is a point where you get on his wavelength. Ekotike will get on his wavelength. Kirkes Rani outside will get on his wavelength, and then all of a sudden you know where they want it, you know where you need to be, you know when he wants it back, you know when he's just running into space for you to come inside. These are the things we talked about early on the season about relationships needing to be forged. That's how you do it. You work out each other, don't you? You know, like if Ray wants it into his feet, you know where he is, you give him into his feet. He might want it in behind, so he shimmies and he goes. You work these things out, you forge partnerships. It's coming.
And we saw Wirtz and Ekotike link up for his goal. It was passed through Ekotike for him and a great little finish when it looked maybe it had gone a touch too far in front of him. So these things are coming bit by bit as the season goes on. And I go back to the point, I think someone said earlier in the campaign, if you don't think Florian Wirtz is a good footballer, you don't know football. That's the kind of point.
Look, I said the other week when we played against Brighton, the difference in his performance level from the start of the season to now is night and day to me. He's gone from a little lad who looked like he was getting pushed off the ball too easily, so someone who's much stronger in possession of the ball. He's far happier in what he's doing in possession of the ball. He can see things quickly, he can play the right pass. Ekotike's ball through him was very, very good, but the finish was excellent. I mean, he didn't try to lift it over, just a little toe-punt pass him. I mean, that was a Ronnie Moran type finish. Ronnie Moran used to say, why don't you just toe it? I used to look at him and go, what do you mean? Just toe it, because keepers can't react to it, because they're waiting for you to do something intricate, and you just go over that with a bit of pace, and then they're going, oh, it's gone past me before they've even moved. They're the little things that you learn in football, and he's a tremendous talent, there's no question about it. I'm glad to see him, he's really enjoying his football, and that, when you score your first goal, you know, and the joy that he showed, and the crowds and the eruption and noise in the stadium,
that's what you play for those moments, and that'll only make them stronger and better in the upcoming matches that Liverpool have got.
What else I'm seeing as well, certainly from the front players, and I think it's helping out defensively, because we have a few clean sheets. It was disappointing again, we conceded. Tottenham was disappointing, but they were on the brink of another couple of clean sheets, weren't they? I think the front players now are in tune when they lose the ball. It's not one of them. Oh, it's now they lose it and they're straight back. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, you mentioned Ronnie Moran there. Yeah. Ronnie Moran used to say, if you give it away and your head goes down, the crowd see that. He said, but if you give it away and straight after it, he said, they'll love you for it, you know, for the effort. And it's kind of like what's going on now, isn't it? They're losing it. And Wirtz will give it away, but he's straight on it. Ekotete gives it away, he's straight on it.
On a similar note to that, slightly different, there was a moment, I think first half, where we gave the ball away, there was an attack, we were caught short because it was a break, and Federico Chiesa, all the way back, into the corner, busting a gut to help out, and that's the kind of thing you need to see, and we're seeing a little bit more of, I think.
Yeah, I think the attitude of the players has been very, very good, and to this defensive side of things, and Jason's quite right, when you give the ball away, it's like, how do you react? Yeah. You can't just stand and feel sorry for yourself. You've got to say, right, how do I win the ball back? How do I get back in a position to help out my teammates? We're seeing it more and more all over the park, not just the strikers and the attacking players, but there was I've seen Kerkesh a few times and fighting down this left channel. How many times was he getting involved in situations? And then when he got up, he got back, so he's looking fitter, he's looking stronger. There was a lot of good things about what Liverpool done today. There was some things that I didn't like, you know, and I thought we were just lending the ball too often, and I don't like to see that, because I think once you lose it, it encourages the opposition to come on to you, and that's what happened the second half with Wolves. They went, oh, it's all right now, we can win the ball and we're going to be at Liverpool. Whereas when Liverpool were passing it quicker, the opposition can't get near you, because you can't run as quick as the ball. The ball's always going to beat you around. And that's when we pass it quick, we look a far better side.
Yeah, that's one of the problems I felt with us. It got all a little bit too laboured. When you have that much possession, listen, ask any footballer, they'd rather play when you've got the ball. There's nothing worse than when you don't have it and you're chasing. You just got to keep it moving, and then all of a sudden it's like a boxing match. We refer to boxing matches all the time, don't we? The punches. It's like you wear them down, and if you move from side to side and you're quick with it, they've got to get out, and then you've got to get back, and then you've got to get back out, and then everyone's moving around. All of a sudden someone will switch off, you'll get that opening, it will come maybe 60, 70, 80th minute, it will come, because they'll be so tired. You just got to keep doing it, but keep doing it quick.
Doing it at pace is the key to it. One last positive then from the performance before we get to let Ray vent about set pieces and that recurring problem. Jeremy Frimpong, we haven't seen a lot of him because of injuries and what have you since he joined the club, but we saw what he can bring. You know, he's got that pace, he always looks to go on the outside and get to the byline and cut a ball back. We saw him involved in the first goal, a different type of player to what perhaps Mohamed Salah gives us on that side now, but it shows what he could offer moving forward.
He was just starting to come into the game, and you know, he was the out ball all the time. You know, they were very much down this left-hand channel for some reason, maybe because Wirtz was there and they were threading it into him. Then all of a sudden they were realising there was a bit of space there, and it just come around that 40th minute mark where it opened up for him. And listen, he's got a great turn of pace, hasn't he? And if he's got space in front of him, he's not frightened of going into it with that pace, and that's what he did. And then Ray's right, you know, sometimes it's not about picking someone out, it's just about putting in an area. And it was a lovely little pullback, and you just wait and go on. Listen, 50-50, it's one of them, whether it's one of ours or one of theirs on the end of it. Gravenberch was there and he finished it off really well, but it was down to the persistence of Frimpong.
Yeah, certainly a bit of a roadrunner. Beep, beep on that outside, he's away. We'll speak about some of the defensive issues, concerns in a second, but let's hear from a defender just now. We can get the thoughts of Virgil van Dijk, who's inside, speaking with Pete.
Well, Virg, congratulations. Another hard-fought 3 points at Anfield.
Yeah, definitely. I think, unfortunately, obviously, to concede the goal in the second half quite early on, that gives obviously them a big boost, some momentum for them to crack on. And I think we played a very, very good first half. Two good goals. Possession, we were good. Defensively, we were solid. And no problems. And I think the second, obviously, they come out with a lot more pressure and they have to try and do the same things, and that was said in the halftime. And unfortunately, we couldn't do that, but obviously that's also part of how Wolves did that. But overall, we found a way, and that's key, especially in the season and in the moment where we are, where we have obviously a lot of injuries and players missing, and it's not an excuse for the second half, but obviously it's good that we got the win, and that's very important.
Where the positives are concerned, it was control, wasn't it? Like you said, first half, two quick fire goals in the first half as well. Great, brilliantly created goals, both of them.
Yeah, 100%. But obviously, like what I said, the first half they didn't press as high as they did the second half, but obviously it was going to be expected because they're 2-0 down. But yeah, I think first half we did very well, and that's something that we should build on.
Sometimes it happens that way, doesn't it? It's not going to all of a sudden be brilliant and super creative all the time. You have to dig deep, and you've proven that as a squad that you can do that when you need to.
Yeah, 100%. You have to find a way to win, and I think if you look at the season, it's been up and down. Good games and unfortunately some bad games, and then you have to try and do everything and fight for every second on the pitch, and I think you can see that not only today, but obviously over the last couple of games as well, that we really want to get the wins on the board, and today was a good one.
The manager spoke about rolling your sleeves up. Can you feel it kind of coming as a squad now? You mentioned before that there's youngsters on the bench. You're having to play through the pain barrier sometimes also.
100%, but obviously that's part of the game. And towards the end you have to dig deep. And especially when they have four up front and they go all in and second ball fight. But that's part of the game as well that you have to be ready for. And I think we showed that too. Obviously, it doesn't always look the prettiest, but I think we are glad that we got the win, and it's on to the next.
How pleased were you to see Flo get his goal today? He had one taken off him a couple of weeks ago, but with each game, each performance we're seeing now, you know, the best of him by the looks of things.
Yeah, he's getting more used to the intensity, to the way we play. He's very important on the ball. Obviously, his qualities are. Is no debate about it. So we are very pleased for him, but obviously he should be very pleased with the goal as well. And I think after 60 something minutes he was quite tired, so that's something that he and we have to work on as well. And in order to do that every 3 days for 90 plus minutes.
And can I just ask you, it was a tough start to the day, tough start to the afternoon to do what you did to lead Diogo's children out at the start of the game. I'm sure it was an honour, but so difficult for the boys.
Yeah, listen, you know, it was an absolute honour to have the boys with me, with Ali as well, together. And I think it was something I was really looking forward to. Obviously, after discussions with Ruud and the family, it was really something I looked forward to. It was going to be emotional, but I think it's something that the boys will remember forever. And hopefully there's more to come in the future for them, and they can keep enjoying Liverpool. Because Liverpool is the place, obviously, that's very big to their heart, and Diogo will always stay with us forever, of course. So I was very, very proud to have them with us, and the fans, I think, appreciate that as well.
Yeah, nice to give the boys that nice moment at the end of what has been a very, very difficult year for them, and of course, Diogo's entire family. Got a lot to pick out from what Virgil had to say. You know, he spoke about the different approach first half and second half from Wolves, and it, you know, the stats kind of backed that up. 77% possession for Liverpool up until half time. It dropped by sort of 10% or so in the second half. You saw first half, you know, there was a moment where they went to break from a corner, and it was Arukadari went to burst forward. All of a sudden he saw Rob Edwards on the field. He said, whoa, get back in your own half, don't you dare go past the halfway line. That was their approach in the first half. So we had the challenge of breaking down. Second half, they throw more at it. It asks a few questions. And they get that goal, Jason, from a set piece. That'll be, what, 11 now from set pieces, if my maths are correct from the stats pre-match. It's there for all to see. It is a weakness at the moment and something that can give other teams inspiration.
You've got to know your limitations as a team. And listen, the stats don't lie when it comes to Wolves. 2 points from 17 games. Worst defensive record, don't score goals. You know, you've got to come to Anfield and try and get something. That something is a point. You start with a point, he's trying to hold on to it, creates a bit of confidence and momentum, and you know, that inevitably means that you drop deep, you make it very difficult, you stay in the game for as long as you can, and hopefully you get something towards the end that you go and nick it, or you can hang on to that point. So, you know, that's their game plan. It's understandable. He's looking for something. He's looking to try and create something where they get something out of a game. But it wasn't to be. We spoke about just switching off towards the end of that first half. Maybe it was a bit of tiredness. Maybe someone was just caught out of position. Liverpool exploited it. He'll be disappointed that it's ended up 2 at half-time. You know, 1-0 down at half-time.
you know, you always feel like you're back into it. But it went to two. His team talk's obviously gone and changed at half-time. And then he's thrown caution to the wind, hasn't he? He's just gone, right, you know, let's, as Virgil just mentioned in his interview there, you know, let's attack higher up the pitch. Let's press higher up the pitch. Let's just see what we get. If we get a set piece, let's, you know, let's make sure it counts. The ball comes in the box. And again, down to our frailties, we get, they get something out of it. And then all of a sudden they're back into it. Then Liverpool get nervous. That's the nature of the game, isn't it? When it, you know, when you're 2-1, you're fighting, you believe in yourself, you've scored. Liverpool are on the ropes a little bit. You know, Liverpool showed some good character though today, I've got to admit.
Another boxing analogy.
Another one.
But that's the reality, isn't it? Is once you concede a goal from a set piece, that anxiety level creeps up around the stadium and in the team as well. It's human nature, but you've got to try and eradicate both of those things. Primarily stop conceding goals from set pieces, but if you do, don't let it bring an anxiety into your play.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange. Like, you've gone from a team that's completely dominated the first half possession-wise, you've got your two-goal advantage. You should be coming out to start the second half. And the first thing you should be thinking is the next player, Jason, will tell you, it's 0-0. In your head, you should be thinking it's 0-0. You're not 2-0 up, it's 0-0. We've got to keep doing what we were doing in the second half of what we did in the first. Retain possession, work it well, make the pitch big, tire them out. And if you don't do that, and then you start protecting, you go backwards. And then you'll give them the incentive to come and create some opportunities. Now, they had maybe one or two shots in the first half. That was it. Nothing else. Then all of a sudden, the second half, they look a different team. Why is it taking them 2-0 down to change tactics to go and have a go? I mean, something I don't understand football that way. You know, 0-0, why don't you have a go then? You need to win. That's simple as that. You need to keep winning and winning and winning to retain your Premier League status for next season. You know, a draw's not going to do you any good. You need to win. You need to get that confidence and belief into your players. And by sitting back in the manner they did, all they were saying to me, Liverpool, come on then, you keep attacking. And maybe if we get one or two half chances, maybe a set play, we'll get a goal from that and maybe get something from it. And then when they go to 2-0 down, they have a go in the second half, they get back to 2-1. And then Liverpool, the team that are sitting back. I mean, when you look to our outfield players, most of them were in their own half, back defending, trying to frustrate Wolves, stop them getting the equaliser. So it's just the different dynamic how football works. But we've got to learn, like we should have learned against Spurs, 2-0 up, playing against 9 men in the end, 10 men at the time, but 2-0 up, how do we pass the ball, make the pitch big to stop the opposition getting any incentive to get back into it?
But it's something that I think Steve and Aldo touched on briefly before they came to us. You know, it's Leeds United coming here next. Mm-hmm. We saw how effective they can be from set pieces just a couple of weeks ago. We've seen they've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin now, who's one of the best forwards in the Premier League in the air with his hang time he gets and the way he puts himself about. So we need to have a plan for set pieces in, what, 4 days' time, whatever it is, 5 days' time. That's the reality of it. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, because it's a theme that keeps coming up. Arna doesn't shy away, but he brings it up himself in media conferences.
Yeah,
he's obviously perplexed, as we are, about it. What do you do as a player? You know, you've been a defensive kind of player at times, Jason. What would you be doing as a group to say, look, we can't keep doing this?
Well, I think we spoke about zonal marking, didn't we? I'm not a fan of zonal marking. I would change it. But listen, they hire set-piece coaches now. You know, they're in a position where I'm sure they're paid very well to figure these problems out. And if we don't figure it out, then, you know, we may have to look at someone and go, you've got to find an alternative. You know, you've been having discussions with the manager, with the coaching staff. You know, maybe he feels they need to change. Maybe the manager wants to continue. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but you're right. It's an issue. It's an issue. You know, you look for trends, you look for data, you use the stats for what they are, and you try and find what the trend is. The trend is we're not very good at defending set pieces. So we need to do something. I mean, Aldo touched on it there, and me and Ray both went, yeah, good point. Leave two or three players up, because they won't leave two or three players on their own in case there's a break and we get in.
It's funny how that... It seems to make sense, but well, coaches and teams are reluctant to do it. It's almost a game of cat and mouse, isn't it?
It's like, sometimes I think, you know, with all due respect to coaches, they complicate it sometimes. It's not rocket science sometimes. Listen, let's just change the numerical order of things.
But I suppose it's the same sort of example as, you know...
I've just lost three toes there, by the way.
I've also heard the example, you know, when guys get free kicks, or teams get free kicks, sort of 25, 30 yards from goal, say 30 yards from goal, and they say, don't put a wall up. Trust your goalkeeper. Well, goalkeeper, take your wall out of the way. Trust yourself that he can't beat you from 30 yards. But they don't do it because on the chance you do get beaten, you looked after. And it's a similar sort of thing, isn't it? You don't want to be seen to, oh, we'll just clear the place out and then they'll put the ball in and we can see the goal. That's the argument why teams don't do it, I guess.
Well, yeah. Well, that is the argument, isn't it? Why they don't do it. I mean, I don't think we're the tallest team. I don't think we are the tallest team. I think when I say the tallest, you could argue Gakpo, you could argue Ekitike, but I don't think they're very good in the air. I don't think they're players who are going to come and win it and head it clear and hit my ball and good old-fashioned bang. I don't think they're that kind of player, even though they got the height. I think the only ones who would do that is maybe Kanate and Virgil, and maybe your keeper might come. But apart from that, you look at Vert, you look at Frimpong, you look at McAllister, you know, they're all, you know, they're not the tallest, are they? So I felt at the beginning of the season with all the signings that came in and the squad, and I looked at it, I thought, we could struggle from set pieces. I think I said it at Preston when we were away at Preston. I went, all the time, we just could struggle at set pieces.
I'll ask our team to check that.
Go back into
don't
the archives
Jason
and have a look.
Any predictions
just
he didn't make.
Just on set plays in general, it's not the first header. We're not conceding from the first header. True. Right, so it's the second ball. So if our players, a great lesson that I learned when you're defending inside the 18-yard box, you don't move out your position until the ball clears the 18-yard box. We've not even cleared the ball out, and our lads are still running out. They're running forward. If I don't know if they're trying to play offside, but they're not with the person they should be marking. So the players that are in there, the opposition players, we're nowhere near them because we're going that way. Ball's not cleared to the 18-yard box. So they go back to the basics of football. Wait till the ball's cleared the 18-yard box before you start running out your positions. Because if you've got bodies in here, you can deal with it. If you've run out, you can't, because the ball falls, they'll be first to react to it, because you're going that way, your body weight, theirs is going towards the goal. And that's what happened with the Wolves goal that they got today. Four players are running that way from our point of view, and their lad just sticks it in.
OK, let's hear from the boss now. Arne Slot has been speaking at his post-match press conference.
Talked a bit on television about Florian Wirtz getting his first goal, but how much of a relief do you think it was for him and for everyone else as well?
I think I'm quite sure about it. It was a relief for him. This I could see after his reaction, after he scored the goal. And the same I saw with his teammates. I think they were really happy for him scoring that first goal, because in football, rightly so, maybe we mainly get judged on results and individuals mainly get judged on goals and assists. And we sometimes tend to forget what else is there to do during a game. And I think he's had multiple good games for us. But I also feel that he gets better and better every single game he's playing for us, gets fitter and fitter, and was getting closer and closer to his first goal. And then it's not a surprise to me that he scored one today. But he would probably be the first one to understand that one goal is not enough. So hopefully he will, and not hopefully, he will score much more goals for us than only this one. But I also liked his performance during large parts of the game today. I think he was special in a lot of moments.
With the second half, do you think that, again, a set piece, is it going to be down to kind of hard work to eradicate this kind of conceding from these set pieces?
No, I think scoring goals in the Premier League is not easy. I mean, then in open play. And I see this almost every single game I watch, because the amount of set piece goals scored gets more and more and more. Unfortunately, we're maybe the only team that hardly ever scores from a set piece. And even worse, we constantly concede. But then, I think I said 2, 3, 4 weeks ago that we have to make sure if things go against us, could be set piece, could be other things, we still need to find a way to win that game. And in the last two games, we conceded a set piece, but we were able to win. And that hasn't happened that many times this season. So that's, again, progress for me. And but it's obvious that there are more things for us to improve, but this is definitely one of them. Although we had a great set piece, the first one after halftime was completely told to the players at halftime, not by me, but by someone else, and it was an open chance for Florian, but unfortunately again it went the wrong side of the post. So I think we've been unlucky in multiple situations in our set pieces, but yeah, it's 18 games now. Yeah, so we need to improve.
What did you make of the performance overall? Because obviously you got into the 2-goal lead and then Wolves got one back and it seemed like they were growing confidence a bit. Were you happy with the performance in the second half?
Of us as a team?
As a whole, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course not. I think if you go 2-0 up at halftime, you're expecting a different second half than we had to face. But in football, a goal can massively change momentum. And that's why I was so annoyed when the goal at City was disallowed, because we were struggling that game probably just as much as Wolves were struggling today. But then a goal can make a lot of difference. So, and that's what you saw today. Not that after the 2-1, we didn't have ball possession anymore. I think there was still, but it was much more an equal game. And then, of course, you're frightened every time when they do arrive, especially when he brought another big man in with the crosses they gave. But I don't think we conceded a lot of big chances. I think the first big chance we conceded was, again, a goal, not for the first time this season. But for the rest, I saw a team that was fighting to get the win over the line. Not with the best possible football, but there was a proper fight. And a bit better than last week, wasn't it, the last 10 minutes? That wasn't too difficult, by the way.
Finn Pong's had an impact in the last two games. Probably a bit of a different player than maybe having his cross when he gets to the byline and creates chances from there. I guess he's another of these players who's undoubtedly been disrupted the first few months, but he's another one that you see signs of becoming more influential.
Yeah, no, I think a lot has been said by so many people, probably you guys included and me included as well, about the amount of money we've spent last summer. No one talks about what we recouped because we sold so many. But then from the players we bought, we unfortunately couldn't have seen the best from Alex. Giovanni Leone has been injured after his first game, and Jeremy Frimpong has hardly been available as well. So it's then nice that we've spent so much. And nobody talking about what we sold. But we were not always able to use the players we've brought in. And Jeremy is a great example now. If he's fit, he can definitely help us, because last week he had the assist against Tottenham, and today he had a great assist against Wolves today. Pace, that's what he has. And that's so important and crucial in modern day football, because to create something against the low block, teams that defend with so many players, yeah, usually teams break this down with set pieces. No, that's not our biggest strength. And then to have him available with his pace, because the goal we scored, is the first one, was pure individual ability. Quick bam-bam and the cutback cross. Okay, we were positioned in the right position. But that's the pace I always wanted to bring in the summer. And that's what we did with Hugo. That's what we did with Jeremy and with Alex as well. But unfortunately, not all of the money we've spent, we have used that, and that has to do with the injuries of these players.
So can I just ask you about a more general question about the atmosphere today and how it all played out? I know you've spoken briefly about it to Sky, but it was a very poignant and difficult afternoon at times for the emotion around Euro.
Yeah. Yeah, difficult, but in a way also special and nice. I think, again, the football world showed how to behave in moments like this. So our fans have been incredible since the tragedy has happened till today. Every single moment they've did what you would hope they do in memory of him. But today, again, the away fans showed that it's not only about our fans, it's also about fans of other teams. So 18th minute, they started singing for Diogo, the Wolves fans, and our fans were clapping. And in the 20th minute, it was the opposite way around. So you guys know, and I know this for 1.5 years now, how special English fans are. And I think today we've showed to the outside world, to the whole world, that that it's not only the players who make this league special, but it's definitely also the fans.
Yeah, the thoughts of Arne Slot there. It's that time, isn't it? Post-Christmas, just before the turn of the year. We need to look back. It is a bit of a cliche, but it has been a roller coaster in 2025. The highest of highs, the lowest of lows. I think what we'll pick out first, maybe, Jason, is a game which kind of underlined on the way to the title. It was a versatility at times from Arne Slot's side. When we went to the Etihad in February and sacrificed possession and were so clinical in attacking when we could and dealing with Manchester City. And it was a real key moment in underlining our title credentials.
Yeah, listen, there wasn't a great deal of change from a personnel point of view from when Arne come in. I think, you know, we all wondered what the expectation was going to be. You know, it was wanted to see how things were going to plan out. He was left in a very healthy position. Only one player came in, Chiesa. And he just slightly tweaked things from a formation point of view, personnel, but he had plenty of strength and depth to put a real title challenge in, and he did that. Listen, he come through with flying colours. Listen, after we won the title, or after, you know, a few games towards the end of the season, it wasn't great, but you know, we were over the line and the celebration started, and they showed real character to get over the line in different ways. You know, last minute winners, you've seen with Nunes, performances like you just mentioned there, the Etihad, and you know, it was just brilliant, wasn't it? It's just, we were on so much of a high. I remember, you know, being here for the title lift, the trophy lift. So much emotion poured out, wasn't it? It was just brilliant. It was just brilliant to be around the club.
I think there was almost sort of two hits at that particular thing, because when we clinched the title against Spurs, we got the first day of it, the stadium was won, celebrating a game of drama when we had to come back and take control of it. I think Spurs are perhaps the best team to play at that particular point, given how porous they were and the problems they were having. And we got this moment, and then we get it again when we get the trophy, as Jason's touched on.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back at 2025, the highs and the lows, you put it, is quite right. And it's not only that, but when you look at the personnel, when you've gone from one group of players to where we are now with the new players that have came in, the transformation has been quite incredible. And very unusual, because, you know, when you win the title, you don't really make that many changes. You don't let a lot of players go. You normally bring one or two in just to add to the squad. But it's been a dramatic change. It's only when I've seen it there that it actually brings it home to you how many's left and how many's come in. You think, wow, that's a dramatic change in the squad that he's got at the moment. And maybe that's just taken a little while for everyone to get attuned with what the manager wants week in, week out. But some fantastic times there. When, I mean, this place, when it's full, players are playing at a high tempo, you're beating the opposition. Some of the performances they put in was outstanding last season as well.
And this was the key moment, the highlight of it all. And given we were robbed of this during COVID when we won number 19, to get this for number 20 was even more special, wasn't it? We all felt it at the time. It was an outpouring of emotion. There were generations who'd not been able to witness this.
Oh, listen, when we win things, we do it properly, don't we? And I think, you know, there's added things thrown in there as well, the COVID situation, you know, the fact that the way we done it, we'd lost the manager, which was a complete shock. You know, I think that went right through the whole football club, the fans. It was that, like, right, well, who are we going to get? And then it was the chase on, he's going to come, is it going to be Alonso, is it going to be so-and-so, is it? Then Arne Slot comes in and it was like, right, can he keep up that good work? Because usually, you know, when a manager leaves and a new manager comes in, it's because the football club's not doing very well. You know, we were still at the top table when Arne Slot come in. So it was, can you carry it on? You know, and imagine, like, walking into a football, fair play to him, walking in and going, I'm going to try and emulate what you've just done, but I'm going to try and do it my way. Okay, he didn't do it in his first season. He went with what he was left. But he was still very healthy. And like Ray's just used that word there, transition. You know, if you looked at it from today's team to the one that finished the season last season, we're actually in transition. You know, and I know you can't stand still in football. You can't. You've got to keep evolving. You've got to keep moving forward. You've got to keep changing, freshening up. But some will argue we might have done it too much this season and we've ended up in transition rather than a slight tweak. You know, I think a tweak might have helped us, but we haven't. We've gone and got five players who are actually in the team. So it's become more of a transition, and transition this day and age takes its time to settle down. You know, this is the foundations of moving forward and challenging year on year on.
But as we saw, regardless of changing personnel, winning back-to-back league titles is difficult enough. And so few have done it over the course of the league, whether it was the Football League or the Premier League. success in the league, frustration in the cups. We had some dark moments across the course of the season. We had frustration at Wembley. We had Plymouth, which I'll gloss over because it was a horrible, horrible day. I was down there. In the Champions League, we lost to the eventual winners. And one thing maybe should pick out, we were given a bit of a schooling in Paris. But funny how football works. We still won that leg. But it was one of the best individual performances of the last year. Alisson Becker was sensational against PSG that night.
He was unbelievable. The saves that he made was quite incredible. And that's why he's the best keeper in the world. When you see what he does, it's absolutely incredible. The agility, the way that his wingspan, the way he, you know, just moves his hands out. And I've got to say, I was here for the PSG game at home, and they were one of the best teams I've seen at Anfield. Yeah. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. And the two legs were brilliant.
Say like robbery that game.
But we all admitted that. Like, it was no way should we have won that game. And justice was done probably across that. You know, PSG were excellent. And you don't have a... See, if you get knocked out of the tournament by the best team in the tournament, it does make it a tiny, tiny bit easier.
No. Not at all, no.
Better lose some drops. Yeah,
you just want to win. But listen, with all due respect, the games that we had against them were absolutely fantastic to watch. You know, for a fan's perspective, you want to see great games of football. You want moments that you're going to remember. And certainly that was the case in the two matches that we had against them. But there was a lot of brilliant moments. I really enjoyed watching last season. I thought it was a lot of great football. This season, we mentioned the word transition. I think that's the word we should be using. There is a change. The change of mentality, change of how we're trying to play. Different players have come in with different personalities, and we've got to get used to that. The fans have got to get used to that. It's going to take time to bed in, because it's not just for this one season. These players are here for longevity. You know, these are young lads who've got 8, 9, 10 years left in them at top level football, and we want them here at Anfield to produce it year in, year out.
Very good point and well worth making. I said earlier it was the highest of highs, but the lowest of lows. I don't think any of us could ever envisage what happened over the course of the summer. The loss of Diogo Jota and his brother Andre. You can't even imagine how, as a football club, any kind of institution, you deal with a moment like that. But the people here, both within the first team and around it, had to try and do that. And you see the pictures here again, Jason. It just underlines just the outpouring of emotion, support, the shock, the grief that was swirling around the football club during the closed season. And also, we were reminded of it today with his two young boys helping lead the team out against Wolves. This is the moment that will sort of linger with people longest, won't it? And be something that always is a part of the football club. Away from the titles and the trophies, it's this kind of thing that is also part of the fabric of the football club now.
We were still celebrating, really, the title win, weren't we? And really looking forward to the new season, and I think it's one of them moments where we'll all remember where we were when we heard the news. And you know, we speak as former players, we're very close and we get together, and no one has been through that. No one has lost a player from a dressing room, so it's unprecedented, isn't it? And we don't know what the effects are of the lads in that dressing room and around the club and the staff, so we can only speak from outsiders. But you know, from looking at it does seem to have had a massive impact, and justifiably so. I mean, it was so sad, and you know, just to try and get over it as a group of players and a staff, you know, they've come through sort of a very, very difficult time, and you've got to give them credit for that. And again, you know, Diogo will never be forgotten, but again, his kids are here today, and we heard Virgil saying how proud he was walking them out, the whole club. You know, it was just heartbreaking, wasn't it? Heartbreaking, because it brings back it all, it comes back to you again, and it's just so, so sad. But yeah, we're a club. You know, we've been through adversity. We know how to look after our own, don't we? We know how to look after our own, and I think that's evidence.
Special message for the Wolves fans today. I thought they showed tremendous respect for their former player as well. I think he wore a number 18, didn't he, for Wolves? And after 18 minutes, they were singing Diogo. I thought it was absolutely exceptional. You know, he was a valuable player for both Wolves and for Liverpool. And obviously, he's international, so he's Portugal. And him and his brother will be sadly missed, of course they will. But your heart goes out to his children today when you see them, you know, and they've got to go through life now without their father. And that is just, for me, unimaginable for young kids.
Yeah, he's not a loss to football or sports. He's a loss to everyone. And it touched everyone, touched absolutely everyone, didn't it?
Well, that's it. Football is important to a degree, but there are some things that are more important.
Yeah, absolutely.
First and foremost, you know, he was a a father, he was a husband, yes. He was someone's son, and that's what should be at the forefront of people's minds, especially at this time of year. Okay, what a year it was, but we turn to the future now. 2026 is not far around the corner. The Reds wrapped things up for this year, though, with a victory. The crucial breakthrough goal came from Ryan Gravenberch. We can hear from him. He's inside, speaking with Pete.
Well, Ryan, congratulations. It was one that we had to work really hard for, and all of these Premier League opposition are hard now.
I know. I think in the first half we played really good, created good chances, scored two goals. And then what you see in the second half, you concede again, set piece. And then they know, they smell, they can maybe score the next one, and they come. But I think at the end we fight and we showed character at the end.
And that is the key, is that when things aren't going well, you dig in together as a team. That was also really important in that second half, didn't it?
Yeah, of course. As always, like, stick together, just run, yeah. Try to win your duels, and I think at the end we did that, so I'm happy.
Tell us about the system as well, Curtis alongside you. Does that feel more suited to the current state of play, to have that little bit of extra help in there?
Yeah, of course. I know Curtis, he loves to take the ball and dribble from the back. He's really comfortable. He almost never loses the ball, so it's really nice to play with him. And it gives you like more confidence to bring the ball forward.
And your goal as well, it was such a beautifully created goal, wasn't it, from Hugo in the lead-up to it. But your finish as well, so measured. Nice feeling?
Yeah, of course. I think always when you score, you have a really good feeling. It was a really nice assist from Jeremy as well. And I saw the gap on the right side, and it went nice in.
He did so well today, didn't he, Jeremy Frimpong? And you need him. You know, he's probably had to dig deep through the pain barrier himself to get ready to play the entire game.
No, I'm happy that he's back, and we know what we have with Jeremy. So happy that he could give something to the team today.
Nice celebration as well for you to honour Diogo. It was a tough, emotional day, I think, for all of you today.
Yeah, of course. We know he plays for us and also for Wolves. There's two teams that he play in England. It was nice to have his kids as well as mascots. So, we wanted to give him something back today. And hopefully he's happy with us, take the 3 points today.
In terms of the second half, you spoke before about the adversity sometimes that comes. What was the reason for it? Was it just maybe a little bit of tiredness, or have we just seen this in all games now that 2-0 is such a dangerous scoreline?
In the second half?
Yeah.
I think we can do a bit better in the second half. Of course, we play a lot of games, so players get tired. But I think if you get tired, you have to keep the ball and not go forward always, you know. And I think we could do better, and then just keep the ball playing, and just let them run, and they will get tired from that. So, and then find the right moment. But we didn't do it, but I think we have to keep working on it.
But the result just finally is the all-important one, isn't it? You're on a string of wins now, which will give momentum and confidence.
Yeah, of course. We always try to win, and you see today as well. Hopefully we get the momentum from now on. Just keep going. And what I said, I'm really happy with the 3 points.
On the score sheet today, Liverpool wrapped up a pretty successful December, but that's in the past. Now it's to the future, and on the horizon, 9 games for the Reds in January. And given that workload, Ray, given the restrictions on the squad at the moment for various reasons, you do wonder at some point along the way, he's going to have to rest players, rotate players, particularly perhaps in that FA Cup game once again, which he sort of did last season.
Yeah, there'll be a couple of games that you'll prioritise for some of the fringe players, give them some minutes on the pitch. And Carabag could be one of them at home, certainly Barnsley in the Cup as well. I mean, the league's, for me, still the priority. You know, I would love to see us have a real good second half of the season, pick up plenty of points and put some pressure on the likes of, you know, Aston Villa, Manchester City and Arsenal. And, you know, there's some good games there. We all lead, don't we, after drawing away 3-3. You know, that was a game that we looked comfortable we were going to go in to win it. Fulham away is always a difficult match, as will be Arsenal. Our form in London has been great this season. They have improved recently with the victories against West Ham and Tottenham. But, yeah, some good matches.
Two Champions League games in there. There is perhaps a concern that we might not get into the top eight. We might end up in those playoff games, given how close it is and given it's going to be tough to get maximum points out of those fixtures.
If you'd asked me 6 weeks ago and said that question, I would have took it. Just like, yeah. And if you'd have asked me 6 weeks ago and flashed that graphic up, I don't know where the win would have come from. But I do look at it now with, you know, rosy-coloured spectacle. So I expect 9 wins, to be honest.
Excellent. That's a positive note on which to end. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure to be pitchhead with you once again. Now, that's us done for today. And next up, though, Liverpool and Leeds United. As Ray says, we do owe them for what happened to Elland Road just a few weeks ago. It's been a pleasure to be with you through the course of 2025. It's ended on a high. We hope to see you in 2026 to do it all over again. Thanks for joining us on The Reaction. If you haven't already, then please do give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. And to all of you, have a happy new year when it comes. Bye for now.